Again, it's good to see you all here today. It is always fun to look in, for me, it's fun to look into God's Word. I enjoy it. Just as we have to go to the table and eat our physical food on a regular basis, in the spiritual life, we have to come to Scripture and get our spiritual food on a regular basis. I don't know about you, but if I miss too many meals, my energy level goes down on the physical level, and that's also true on the spiritual level. If we miss and don't have our thoughts in terms of spiritual truth, our spiritual energy will ebb, because that's just the way it works. So if you'll bear with me, we're going to look again at spirit filling, and then today, Let's give the introduction. If you'll turn to Romans 6, the sixth chapter of Romans, and the sixth verse, we're just going to look at one little phrase, which we did not cover when we went over this passage previously. Today we're going to try and put it all together. And I'm thinking we won't get it done because of the clock. But if you look at Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 6, you'll see in the first phrase there, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. When we went over this section, I told you that I wasn't going to get into what the old man was yet. Now, if you'll turn over to Colossians, the third chapter, where we've been spending our time the last few Sundays that we've met. If you'll turn over to Colossians, the third chapter, down in verse 9, it says, stop lying to one another, to other Christians, seeing that you have put off the old man. Now, here's what I want to show you today. We won't get finished because we're going to observe the clock. But here's what I want to show you today is that if we understand the concept of what the old man is, and what the new man is, we'll do that in the reverse order, it gives us a little deeper insight from a different angle of what putting reckoning ourselves dead to the sin nature and alive unto God means. Now, it's not exactly the same. In your notes down at the end, I say it's another description of the same sort of thing. It's another description, but it describes it from another angle with some other nuances. So here's where we're going today. We're going to cut through a lot of the smoke in the outline, and that's this. We're going to define the new man, and when we define the new man, then we'll know what the old man is. Now, I want to say before we start, this is positional, and I'm going to just come out and be honest with you. I've known a lot of people teaching positional truth, and they don't understand positional. If you've been around me and you've been here the last few Sundays, you know what position is. Romans 4:17, God counting what is not as though it is. That's positional. If you really want an extended translation of the last part of that verse, God's counting that which does not exist as though it exists. That's positional. When we count what is not, we're dead to the sin nature, as though it is, we're reckoning like God, but we're not God, so it's not as perfect. That is where we're going. So obviously, what I'm setting up for you, the concept of the old man and the new man are symbols in Scripture that represent two different positions. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of umbrage with one of my favorite Bible tools, and that is the Scofield Bible. If you look in Romans, the sixth chapter, I'm going to read a part of and I'm reading this in contrast to what we're going to be presenting. In Romans, the sixth chapter, I'm going to read the footnote that Scofield has about what the old man is. And I'm going to ask you, if you have a Scofield Bible, to correct it, because it's not quite correct, it's close. It's on page 1198 at the bottom, footnote 2. The expression of the old man occurs in Ephesians 4:22 and Colossians 3:9, always the man of old, and he says, is the corrupt human nature. Cross that out. It is the position in Adam. The corrupt human nature, the sin nature, is not something that needs to be counted as though it is, because it's not. It's not counted. It is. Do you see the difference? Positional truth is counting that which is does not exist as though it exists. The sin nature does exist. So it's not positional. Now, that's a little abstract, but it's not that hard. I always say, if I can get it, you can get it too. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and so if I can understand it, I would purport that you can too. Now, if you will turn to Colossians, the third chapter, we're going to define, because it's easier to define, what the new man is, and then that will tell us what the old man is. And if you'll turn to Colossians, the third chapter, and the 10th verse. So I'm going to tell you what it is ahead of time, and then I'm going to prove it. The old man is our position in Adam. The new man is our position in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Actually, to do it right, Christ Jesus. Okay, the third chapter of the book of Colossians, the 10th verse. We have put on the new man. This word put on, not to belabor it, has the idea of putting on like clothes, your outer garment. We put it on. The new man, which is being renewed, a quality of renewedness, into the full experience of knowledge, after the image of Him, capital H, Christ. Now watch the next Him, who created Him. Who's that last Him? It's not the one in your red book. This has a Y in it. This Him, in the last Him, the H-I-M, in word chapter 3, verse 10, Colossians, is referring to the new man. So let's read it that way. Excuse me. The reason I'm being very careful with any is I'm a bleeder right now, so I have to watch things coming. Verse 10. We have put on like an outer garment the new man, the one being renewed in the full experience of knowledge after the image of Christ that created the new man. So this new man is created. Now, I've given you the verses, but for time I'm not going to go there. We have other verses that say that the body of Christ was created by Christ Himself. That's in Ephesians 2:10 and Ephesians 2:15. So when you see the term created, create means create out of nothing. The body of Christ was not made. It was created. By whom? Jesus Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter. You have one little word you got to get translated correctly here. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Therefore, going to the Son, since anyone in Christ... Not he is a new kind, not creature, creation. Old things are past, and all things are become new. That is referring to what in this passage? Well, if you go back in the passage, it's referring to the body of Christ. You have it over in Ephesians as well. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we want to, let's see, let me get this correct. Yeah, it's 423. Ephesians 423. Be being renewed by the Spirit in your new mind, that you put on like outer clothes the new man, which God, the God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the new man. So the new man is each Christian, as they are baptized into the body of Christ, It's another way of looking at it with Christ as head. You have it. Let's see. There's even an easier one that is closer to... Oh, of course. It's right there in front of me over in Colossians, the third chapter. There we go. We read verse 10. Remember the new verse 10 in Colossians, the third chapter, is the new man? Now look at verse 10, 11. Verse 11 is referring back to verse 10. In him goes back to in the new man. In him is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, those that are under law or not under law, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is the all things in all ways. So the new man then is our position in Christ. Counting something that is not as though it does exist. Now that means that the old man is going to be the opposite. Let's look at the old man very quickly. But first, you got to understand a concept that's over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Before we look at the old man, because that's the one we have to put off, we need to look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. There's some symbology here and a figure of speech. In Scripture, and then I'll show you the verses, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, is called the second or last Adam, meaning the first Adam back in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, that Adam is the first Adam. And you see it here in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 45th verse. As has been written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. That last Adam in this context is Jesus Christ himself. Now, the reason for this is over in, if you get this concept I'm going to show you now, you've got something that most theologians don't get. Look over in Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans, the fifth chapter. Now, I'm going to tell you what we're going to see, and then we're going to see it. God the Son, when he died on the cross in the realm of his humanity, the deity didn't die, his humanity died, he paid enough for all of mankind. Every human being that ever lived had a sacrifice that would have been enough to save them. Now, how does God do that? It goes back to counting that which is as though it isn't. What God the Father said is, I look at all human beings and they have a sin nature because Adam determined to do what he wanted to his own will and not follow my rules. Now, when Adam's nature got bent, God looked back at Adam and said, Adam's nature's bent, and I count every human being to have a bent nature because of that. We call that the sin nature. That means Eve had one too. And by the way, you get your sin nature from both your mother and your father. I know they teach different than that, but that's Scripture. So what God the Father does says, now all human beings have a sin nature because of this first Adam. What I'm going to do is the sacrifice of the second Adam is going to pay for the first Adam, and then all those that came after Adam's sin nature has been paid for. You want to see the verse? It's in Romans, the fifth chapter, and we want to look at the 18th verses, 18th and 19th verse. And this is referring back to Adam. If you need to have who it is, you can go back in the context and you pick it up in verse 14. This is talking about Adam. And I'm in verse 18, the fifth chapter of Romans. Therefore, through the offense, or it should be trespass. Trespass is when, did you know that Adam had a sin nature before he ate the fruit? Adam had a sin nature when he determined, that's the word, determined to eat the fruit. When he ate the fruit, that was a sin act. The sin nature had to come first because the sin nature, the propensity to sin, was already there before the act of sin. Okay, verse 18. Therefore, through the trespass of one, that would be Adam, if you mark in your Bible, judgment came upon all men to condemn. Back in Psalm 51, it says that when a human being is conceived, they're conceived separated from God, spiritually dead. Physically alive, I don't care what the Planned Parenthood says, physically alive, spiritually dead. Condemnation of all human beings came from Adam. In middle verse 18. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that would be Christ, the free gift came upon all men to be declared righteous regarding spiritual life. Verse 19. For by one man's trespass, Adam, the many, and then the many, it goes back to verse 18. Now it's going to talk about those that this gets applied to. It's going to talk about the Christian. So not only were all unsaved people condemned in Adam, all saved people were condemned in Adam. Verse 19, for by one man's trespass, determining to do wrong, to sin, the many, those that are saved, were constituted, the word made in the King James, if you have a interlinear, you've seen I telling you true, were constituted as sinners. That's the sin nature. If you're a sinner, you have a propensity to sin, that's your nature. A tree has a propensity of Douglas fir to grow up. Their nature is to grow up. The nature of humans is to act as though God has no restraints. Why? Because we got that from Adam. And God counts that I am a sinner because of Adam, even though I do my own sins. But when he paid for the sin of Adam, it pays for mine. Because God counts that which does not exist as though it exists. Last part of the verse. So the obedience of the one, that would be Christ, shall many be declared righteous, or constituted righteous, rather. So here we have it. The old man is our old position in Adam. Before we were saved, that's the only position we had. Before we were saved, we couldn't, even if we did something that looked right, it was not righteous because it was separate from God. It was in our own strength. Before we were saved, we were completely given to that position in Adam. Now, when we are saved, that position in Adam doesn't get taken away. Talk to your spouse. You can still sin. But now, when we are saved, we have a new position in Christ. In Christ, when we're living in this position, we always act right. When we live in our old position, which we still have, we always act unrighteousness. So here's where we're going today. And we're going to look in it just a little bit farther in just a minute. But I wanted to describe the terms. The old man is not our sin nature. The old man is our position in Adam. The new man is our position in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Now, get this straight. We have a position in Adam called the old man, but we don't call our sin nature the old nature because we still have it. Got it? That's a very important distinction that I didn't used to make, but we need to make that as we look in Scripture. So in these two Adams, then, we have potential. Now, let's go back to Romans 6, verse 6, and see what that adds to this verse. You see, what we wanted to do was define these terms, which we skipped over when we went through these passages. And when we go back here, now we're going to go back here and we're going to get, isn't it interesting? You can go to the same verse 10 different times and get a little more richness to that verse. Now we're going to go back to Romans 6, what we spent 6 months on, 6 weeks on Romans 6, and we're going to see something we didn't see before. Romans 6, the sixth verse. Experientially knowing. Now that means in practice. This isn't head knowledge. This is something that is actually done. Experientially knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now, why? Why is this so important? that the body that contains the sin nature, this is the concept here, might, this is subjective, be rendered inoperative. Now, he's not saying that you go over in the corner and put yourself in a comatose state, and that way that you don't fulfill the sin nature. He's saying that you render your body inoperative in sin nature. And what does that mean? Because it's a chain reaction. Your body's primarily in this life driven by your soul, your emotions, your sensory perception, and your instinct for survivability or life, physical life. What does the sin nature attack? The sin nature attacks the soul, but the soul wouldn't be susceptible to the sin nature if it didn't have a mortal body. Got it? Because it's the mortal body, the idea that we're in the life cycle, that affects the emotion and affects the sensory perception and affects the instinct to life. So the sin nature is a chain reaction that goes through the soul and goes back to the body. How do I render the body ineffective or inoperative to the sin nature? Well, you have it in this verse. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body that the sin nature I now have in, have is housing my sin nature, might be rendered inoperative, that henceforth I won't be a slave to that sin nature. You see, we've spent a lot of time on this, but we really, as human beings, and if you read anything in the news and how they manipulate you through the news, you know that the way they manipulate people is through emotion. Now, the best movies, they say the best movies, but one of the best techniques in terms of writing novels, movies, plays, anything like that, is that you have humor and then you have sadness. And you go back from wanting to cry during a play, or even a Shakespearean play, and then you go up and all of a sudden there's humor. If you have too much sadness, it's not going to be a good movie or play. If you have too much happiness, it'll come off as silly. So you go back and forth. You make them cry, make them laugh, make them cry, and then you're controlling the emotion. The emotions in this life, apart from the Holy Spirit, cannot be fully controlled. Even the Stoics could not fully control their emotion. Even the Spartans could not control fully their emotion in terms of the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, we are to have emotion, but it has to be controlled. How? We've only spent 22 Sundays on this. By means of the Holy Spirit. By means of the Holy Spirit. That's some of the effects of the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you'll turn over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I skipped over it. Let's look at another section there, and then we'll go over to Colossians, which is where we were headed. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, this renewedness in the 23rd verse is something we're going to spend a whole Sunday on. It's really interesting. You have two different words for renewedness, and it's always renewedness in the mind. Now, I'm asking you, and you better get this right when you're inside to answer. What mind would that be you renewed in? In the mind of Christ. In the mind of Christ. You know, I won't go there. So verse 23, 4th chapter of Ephesians. Be being renewed in or by the Spirit in of your mind, belonging to your mind, that you had and that you had in the past put on the new man. So here you have an order. You have to already in your thinking be in the realm of your position in Christ before the mind of Christ can be renewed. Isn't that what it says? That's what I'm reading. Verse 24. That you had put on the new man, which as measured by God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, in the next verse, we're going to get into this in the next few Sundays. In the next verse, it's going to say that in the realm of our position in Christ, we can thwart sin, and we can thwart unrighteousness. We can't do it in the realm of our old man, but we can in the realm of the new man. And let's go over to Colossians, the third chapter, and see what that adds over there. And then we're going to go back in the third chapter and pick up some things later in our series here. Now let's go back to verse 5, chapter 3 of Colossians. This sounds a lot like Romans, the 6th chapter. And you'll see the similarity if you've been following. I'm in the 5th verse, 3rd chapter of Colossians. Put to death, that's what mortify means, therefore, the members which are upon earth. Now, what would that be? What is upon earth? The old man. Okay, keep going. I don't have a finger called fornication. I don't have a finger called uncleanness. I got fingers that can do that stuff, but they're not that. It's talking about members of your body that do this, inordinate affection or passion, evil, lust, and covetousness, which is greed, or which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things sake, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Here's another one, a little note. This is a spiritual family, and if you act like the other spiritual family, watch out. That's kind of a backhanded slap to Christians that are not acting like Christians. Verse 7, in which things you also ordered your lifestyle when you lived in these things. Verse 8, but now you also put off like an outer cloth all these things: anger, work of the flesh; wrath, a work of the flesh; malice, work of the flesh; blasphemy, work of Satan; filthy communication, work of Satan, from your mouth. Stop lying to other Christians, to one another. Verse 9, seeing that you have put off the old man. Now, in your thinking, your old position in Adam. Now, why is that so important? Because where your mind is where your action is. Look at the rest of the verse. Put off the old man and his practices. So if I am in the realm of my old man, in my thinking, what are my actions going to be? They're going to be practicing the sin nature. If I'm in the realm of my thinking, in my position in Christ, what are my practices going to be? Oh, they're going to be righteousness coming through the mind of Christ. Next verse. And have put on, like an outer garment, the new man, the man should be there, the one being renewed in knowledge, the full experiential knowledge. That means practicing deeds as measured by the image of Christ that created the new man. Now let's put our finger here and let's put some verse together and we'll be done. I said that so everybody can listen to this last part. If you get this last part, you got what we've been trying to do today. Put your finger in Colossians 3 and turn back to Romans, the 6th chapter. Now they're a little different nuance, but they're talking about the same mental activity. Little different nuance, same different activity. Romans 6:11. Likewise, count something that does not exist as though it does exist. You also are dead on one hand to the sin nature. Flip over to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. Seeing you have put off the old man and his deeds. Sounds like the same mental process. Flip back to Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 11th verse. Right in the middle. On the other hand, alive. Now, alive indicates activity. Alive means activity, animation. You cannot be alive and do nothing. That's why you have heard from me, and I'm going to say it again. When you confess your sins, you're essentially in neutral gear. When you determine to please your Father because you have a ceremonial cleanliness before Him, you're putting it in first gear. Alive unto Him is what? It's putting your car in drive going forward. Alive unto God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn back to Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. Having put on the new man, being renewed, this is in the area of the mind. We're going to go to Romans 12:2 to show you this. In the full experience of knowledge, that term demands activity. Alive demands activity. Full experience of knowledge demands practice. You can't practice in your mind. In the being renewed in the full experience of knowledge as measured by the image of Christ, the one who created the new man. So what we're trying to show you is, it's a different angle talking about the same mental process. Now I want to be clear because I haven't touched it today. But you cannot do this on our own. When we determine to count ourselves dead, that means completely separated, but we're not. Remember, we're counting something that is not as though it is. We count ourselves to be completely separated from the old man, or from the sin nature. We can count ourselves to put our position in Adam. We're done with that because it has practices. We cannot do it on our own because you cannot stop there. The part of both of these two passages has to go like glove and hand because you cannot stay in a state of death. A person never dies. You have to be alive to something. So if you're dead to the sin nature, what are you alive to? God the Father, over in Romans 6:11, to your position in Christ. Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. It's a mental activity that none of us can do on our own. We have to be rightly related to the Holy Spirit because we're rightly related to God the Father, and we have our family relationship correct. And when we have our family relationship correct, oh, trust me, those old thoughts are not going away. Just trust me. And if you're honest with yourself, you know I'm telling you the truth. But however, now because I have a family allegiance, I have a fealty, I have a loyalty to God the Father on things above, those thoughts that I have in the realm of my new nature that come up by means of the Holy Spirit in the mind of Christ that I participate in, they become so much more important because that's where my allegiance is. Do these other thoughts go away? No. But I'm framing my mind on these thoughts over here because after all, that's what the Father wants. The Father wants me to leave these thoughts. Those thoughts never cease to occur. You know, Dr. Winninger, Arnold Winninger, he used to read his entire message, which I'm thinking he got a message that he had written before he had been exposed to my dad's theology, or the theology of the Scripture. But he was reading, you know, as we get older, the flesh and the sin nature don't attack us as much. Well, you know, I got one foot in the grave, and I'm going to tell you that ain't true. That isn't true. The sin nature never goes away. And in fact, we're not going to do it today, but I could show you two verses that say, when unsaved people go, the worm never dieth. They still got the sin nature down there, roasting, getting turned on the spit. It never dies.